He has laid that on my heart to speak to you about it. And I want to show you some scripture so you will at least understand that God owns the right to issue a warning any time he wants to. From Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Is that a scary verse? I just don't want to fall within that designation of sinners. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven, somebody say the stars of heaven, and the constellations, somebody say the constellations, thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened. I forgot about this scripture long ago. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isn't it to me, especially today, you know, not much more than 24 hours, 25, 26, 27 hours away from an eclipse that has not happened to this extent. Now, a lot of scholars say it's been about 100 years. There's one scholar I read in her dynamic presentation. It was Billy Graham's daughter, who is a preacher and a very, very eloquent voice for righteousness, said that there's not been an eclipse like this since 1200 and something in the Americas, on the North American continent, the way that this is going to happen. So if that is true, then it's been not too much under 900 years, not just 100. This is a very, very unique event that is going to be happening just tomorrow. And I didn't really have necessarily firm plans to share. I'm going to share with you a shocking story that if your hair isn't my color, it might turn it that. It's a true story. And I want you to hear it because I've never heard it until this week, even some things that happened around the time of 9/11 that I just heard about this week. Watch this now. If you think that Isaiah is a good warm-up, Isaiah 13, let's try Joel chapter 2. You're going to recognize some of this. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is for our day. This is what's happening in our churches. Your old men and outside our churches and between church services. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. How many of you can testify that you've had that experience? You've had the spirit of the Lord poured out on you. I'm testifying. Thank you for that, Lord. Now watch this, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens. Powerful statement. And I will show wonders in the heavens. And in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Does that sound like an eclipse to you? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Notice it says before that great and terrible day. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And ladies and gentlemen, right down here, right in front of this altar, just a couple of days ago, we spent, and we had some wonderful saints of God helping us, 2.5 or so hours casting devils out of a man who wants to become a member here. I'm not playing around, and neither is God playing around. I believe it's time. Listen, if you've ever been serious about living for God, it's time to get on down, get hunkered down, get on track, get connected, get on fire. We're living like we've got a million years. But my subject today is it may be later than you think. Let's ask God to speak to us. Would you with me? God bless you, Lord. Thank you so much. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. We know, God, that there are many different ways that you speak to us, Lord. Much of it is about worship and faith and prayer and consecration. But God, you have the sovereign right to issue a warning anytime you well please, Lord. So we say amen to that as well. We say we're open to your warnings. We're open, Lord, to your leadings. We're open to your voice. Would you say that? Lift your hand and say that to the Lord. I think you'd be pleased if we'd say that to him. Lord, I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open to your voice. I'm open, Lord, to your presence. I'm open, Lord, to change. I'm open, Lord, to conviction. I'm open, Lord, to the dealings of God. Help me, Jesus. Give us discernment. Give us understanding, Lord. Would you pray that with me? Give me understanding. Lord, it is so easy to fall asleep spiritually. It is so easy to drift and float and not really strive and contend for the mastery. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And because I really, really want us to understand, I don't claim to be a prophecy teacher, but I do claim to be a reader of the word and a follower of Jesus. I bind every unclean spirit that would cause somebody not to understand. I take authority over unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. I take dominion. Just what I did here just 2 days ago, I'm doing it right now. I take dominion over unclean spirits. I take dominion over the enemy. I take dominion over lying spirits and spirits of dark. I take dominion. I rebuke the enemy and tell him to leave our brains, leave our thoughts, quit harassing us. Hallelujah. Quit deceiving us. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost right now. In Jesus' name, I take authority. I take authority and dominion over the enemy. We bind every lying spirit. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Shendo ye kataramosha. Porambo kototoromoshe. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we are believers in apostolic ministry. We are believers in apostolic ministry. And these signs shall follow them that believe. From Mark 16, the first one mentioned, in my name shall they cast out devils. Hallelujah. The very sign that was the first one is the one that a lot of churches tried to omit, apologize for, and cover up, or at least amend this with a great heart of goodwill toward all churches, at least ignore. I don't have that right, neither do you have the right to ignore Scripture. All right, I believe God, don't you? You may be seated. If God wants to use the sky as his billboard, does he have the right? If God wants to say, see, we've got sermons we've heard and thank God for every sermon about the soon coming of the Lord. Because if he doesn't come for the body general, he could come for you tonight. There was a gentleman involved in a high-speed car chase. He had been in my church. He had been in my church that weekend. And he was in a high-speed chase, outrunning an officer, and there was a horrific collision, and one of our people, actually it was Tim Drexel, came upon that accident scene. That man was killed in that accident. He had been in our church that Sunday before. I told this story on the weekend just before Ember's accident. He had been in church. He had had a chance to come to an altar. We were looking forward to seeing him that next Wednesday service. And between Sunday and Wednesday, he was killed in a horrific accident. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the day to compromise. This is not the day to be frostbitten. This is not the day to be called chosen and frozen. This is the day to get on fire. There's something happening in the world. There's something happening in the church. Have we ever seen a youth congress like this one? But God wants that happening in all of our churches. A mighty move of the Holy Ghost. And fervor and fire and passion. Come on. I wish somebody would jump up and praise God with all their heart today. Jump up and praise God and give him the glory that he's worthy of. We're not going to wait 2 years. We're going to get stirred up and excited. Hallelujah. And challenged today in church. God has so many ways that he can talk to us. Now you would think that that was enough scripture, but since sometimes there are those that would say, oh, but you never read anything from the New Testament. So here is Simon Peter preaching the first sermon in the church's history, right? Listen to this, Acts 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. And then he begins to use the scriptures from Joel that we just read. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun, verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I find it nothing less than remarkable that a pretty good portion of scripture from a minor prophet is picked up and the Holy Ghost ships it into Simon Peter's message, the first sermon preached on the day, hallelujah, that the church was born. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Come on now, that's the birth of the church. And here is Simon Peter preaching. And in that first sermon, they heard about these things that we're now witnessing. I did this little thing, okay? You know how you when you're thinking, I wonder, Lord, do you want me to talk about this today? You ever did like, Lord, could you give me a little amen? Could you? So I have this XM station, my XM radio, praise God. And there's this preaching station that I found. And I have it saved, Brother Dinkins, as one of the, it's the first station that I've saved. And the preacher that preaches on this station has this little church of about 45,000 people. And he's very, very positive. He has the Holy Ghost and he has a lot of faith in God. And so I'm thinking, okay, now I don't even know if I said this out loud, Cody. I think I did, but I'm not sure. Because sometimes when I get in the flow, I don't know if it's just my thinking or my speaking, or it's all just kind of melded together. But I sent up a prayer. I'm going to turn on this station. I'm going to hit Joel Osteen. Okay? I'm going to let him preach. And Lord, if you want me to talk about this, let him say something that tips me off. Now, Joel, I don't know if you've listened to Joel, but he's very positive. I like him a lot. Sometimes I wish he'd just kind of get down, just throw down, you know, and give a major call to repentance or something like that. You know what I mean? Just shake it. Just shake the place, you know. But he's a loving man. He's a positive guy. He has some of the truth. He needs some more. I would love, and by the way, I had some people come through my town. I have a friend that witnessed to a Baptist preacher, got him baptized. I believe they baptized his church as well. And that man was driving up, stopped in my town, was driving up to spend some time with the Joel Osteen family and sit with them, praise God, at a special event. He had just been baptized in Jesus' name. I guess he got the Holy Ghost. And they were getting ready to have dinner with the Joel Osteen family. I'm going to tell you what, God will raise up a witness. Did you hear that? God will raise up a witness that will speak to us. God knows how to reach us. I like to say it this way. He enters by a private door into every individual. That's right. So anyway, I'm thinking, now if Joel, now, you know, Joel doesn't normally talk like the way he was talking when he was preaching. It's usually about standing in faith and believing. It's good stuff. You know, believe God and say things right and put Jesus out there and believe God for your healing and believe God to bless you financially. And I mean, it's good stuff. Frankly, I like him. I'd like to help him see some more stuff in there, but you know, I like what he's got. Brother Cody, I started counting. He's preaching, and he used the word alarm 3 different times in just a few minutes. I don't even know if I've ever heard him all through the years ever use that word. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, now, Lord, if you want me to talk to my church about what's going on, just tip me off as I turn this preacher on, turn this radio on, let this preacher preach to me. Just give me something. 3 different times he talked about an alarm. He was not preaching about the eclipse. As a matter of fact, the sermon, I think, had been preached maybe months before or years before. He used the word warning. This is probably within the scope of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. He used the term alarm or alarms 3 times, used the word warning once. He also used the word siren. Plus 1 makes 5, right? And you know, and I know, that 5 is the number of what? Apostolic ministry. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Don't forget the evangelists. Okay, 5. That's 5-fold. 5 different, or 5 times in that little, it's like, Lord, you really do want me to talk about this one. Go to church. See, it might be It might be later than we think. We might be closer to the coming of the Son of God that we were singing about than we think. We have sort of like we're like Pavlov's rats. We've conditioned ourselves. We've lived under preaching for years. My pastors, and God bless the 10 pastors that pastored me and the pastors that now speak into my heart and life that I pastor with, and thank God for the voice of pastors. I had some of the most amazing pastors that pastored me, and let me tell you this, some of them were not reluctant to speak into my life. And that's probably why, as Jeff Arnold would say, I'm still here. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen to this. An article I just came across with the help of my beautiful bride. She got me on this trail. And she is, Sister Meadows is a reader. Oh, goodness sake. She's not only a prayer warrior, an intercessor, and extremely cute, by the way, but she's a reader. I got to reading this, and I thought, oh, my lands. Listen, here we go. This showed up first, I think it was first, in Charisma News. In 1998, a very unusual series of events resulted in Rick Wiles, and I put here in parentheses, True News writer, an agency called True News, a writer for them, and this man meeting a wonderful Christian lady named Leah Mandel at a conference. Now, so that was a pleasant and wonderful thing, and she seemed like a really, really nice person. But 3 years later, Leah made a very strange phone call to Rick. She knew he was a spiritual guy and had spiritual understanding, was a praying man. She made this phone call on August 11th, now notice the date, August 11th, 2001, which was precisely 1 month before the 9/11 attacks. When Rick answered the phone, Leah began telling him, and this is what she said. You ready for this? I've never heard anything quite like this in my life. The alarms are ringing. That was her message. The alarms are ringing. And then she began to explain what was happening. She said, Rick, something very odd is happening today. Alarm bells. Everywhere I go today, there are alarms ringing. Car alarms. Burglar alarms, fire alarms, and I dedicate this next one to you ladies, even oven alarms. Every place I go, I hear alarms ringing. What's really strange is people are having trouble turning the alarms off. I go into stores. The alarm is ringing. I go into an office. The alarm is ringing. And they can't get the things to turn off. So the Lord, Rick, told me, call Rick Wiles and tell him the alarm's ringing, and this time they will not be turned off. The moment she said that, his seatbelt alarm started ringing even though his seatbelt was fastened. I don't know if you have the experience that I do. I get into my car. That's not for whom the bells toll. You know, the bells, the seatbelt bells start chiming. And they chime and they chime and they, and I start talking to them. And they go off, and they go off, and they go off, and they go off, and they go off. And I've tried to turn the alarm off, and I haven't succeeded yet. Same with my last car. You know, people, that's our tendency. Well, just turn the stupid thing off. Just turn it off. It's driving me crazy. You know what? This lady is saying, not only everywhere I'm going today are alarms going off, but when the people realize that this is crazy, this never happens, and they try to turn them off, they can't turn them off. It was 1 month to the day before the Twin Towers fell on September 11, 2001, when this prophetic lady had this experience and warning from God. Ooh. You think God can do stuff like this? Yeah. Yeah. Now, the story goes on. Exactly 16 years later, on August 11th of this month, 2017, Leah, again her name was Leah Mandel, Leah called Rick again. She called to tell him that, quote, the alarms are ringing, unquote, again. And that she was, and this is a new one, she was seeing dead birds fall out of the sky everywhere. So when this article came to print, you'll understand when it says 3 days ago, or on August the 11th, so it must have been the 14th when this was written, Rick was driving to his church when suddenly a dead bird fell from the sky and smashed into his windshield. The bird did not fly into his path, but fell out of the sky like it was already dead. And then he received a call from Leah Mandel saying, Rick, the alarms are ringing. Everywhere I go today, alarms are ringing. And there's something else. Dead birds. I'm seeing dead birds. It seems like everywhere I go, there's a dead bird. And then he realized that the date was August 11th, the same date when Leah had called him 16 years before to tell him a similar warning. Now lift your hands and ask for spiritual discernment. Do you suppose... Oh, let's talk to Jesus. Do you suppose that God wants to wake somebody up? That God wants to help somebody? Oh, my. In Jesus' name, there are alarms going off. It is later than we think. Wonderful Jesus. Come on, let's lift our voices up. I think we ought to pray stuff like this. Lord, don't let me be lost. Lord, don't let me be lost. Don't let me be distracted. Don't let me be, Lord, somehow, Lord God, out somewhere away from the center of your will. Lord Jesus, as we take a few moments today in the name of the Lord God and we soften these lights, I come to you and tell you that I believe that this eclipse is a spiritual sign that God wants to rent the sky, that God wants to use the stars and the moon and the sun to preach to us a message about the fact that we're living in the last of the last days. And if you ever had a desire to run to an altar and say, God, I want to get it right. I want to get right with you, and I want to get right with my church and my God and my friends. And I want to be right. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be godly. I want to be consecrated. The alarms are going off. I'm telling you, the alarms are going off, and it's later. It's much later than you think it is. Yes, it is, and God is renting the sky, and he prophesied of it in Joel and Isaiah and in Acts chapter 2 that he would use signs and wonders, not only on the earth, but signs and wonders above the earth. Woo, hallelujah. Anybody feel what we're talking about? Anybody understand? I've never heard of anything quite like this. Would you ask God for discernment? If you knew we're that close. The first time this happened, it was 1 month before the tragedies of New York City and those tall towers falling to the ground changed us forever. But God, 30 days before, was sounding some alarms and a prophetic word was going out. In Jesus' name, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, there's an alarm. Can you hear it? There are alarms sounding. I want to preach to you that maybe we have limited days to even have church as we know it. I don't know all the details, but I know we have that tendency to procrastinate and to put off the business at hand with God that we need to do. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open our hearts to your word. Open our hearts, Lord, to your coming. Open our hearts to discernment. If we got to thinking, I believe all of us could think of some stuff that we have heard, some tragedies or some things that were heart-gripping that have happened around us. And it was simply one of those alarms going off. In Jesus' name, God, you know what you're doing. I want to walk to this altar. You girls, I want you to sing in the Holy Ghost. All right, God wants to help somebody today. Hallelujah. I want to walk to an altar. Let me tell you, before we play any further, Megan, let me share this before you're doing a beautiful job. I want to tell you that I could be very angry about Amber's tragedy, and I'm not. But one of the things, Allison, and you loved her, and she loved you guys. One of the issues, ladies, one of the things that I could pick a bone with God about is, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me, God? And this is what I'm told. Amber knew something was up. She had been digging. You know, I said, God, really, if you would have won, you know what we would have done to change everything. But she had been digging in, Tim. She had been praying more than she usually prayed. People that were close to her could tell you this. It was like she sensed in her heart something's up. See, God loves us so much to give us a warning. And the warning doesn't mean we're not right with God either. It might just mean that he wants us to draw closer to him. Maybe there's a purpose that you've not fulfilled yet. There's a calling on your life. There's an anointing on your life. And maybe you've been all wrapped up in your work or whatever. And in this town, that's easy to happen. I'm telling you, it's easy to get lost in a career in Columbus, but I want to tell you something. The call of God is bigger than your career. The call of God is bigger than your job. The call of God is more serious and more important than anything else you could mention. Oh, lift your hands and let's worship the Lord together. And let's open our hearts, if you would. I believe there have been alarms going off. I believe that my baby girl was already drawing close to the Lord. And in her dying, she brought others to him that are still living for him, because God had already tipped her off. And I believe he's tipping us off today. Hallelujah. I believe he's renting the sky. I believe he's created his own billboard. And he's going to use everything that they're talking about. Millions of people camping out. Thousands of people flooding little towns in Oregon because they want to see this major eclipse. Oh, great God, I'm going to open this altar. I'm just throwing this out. A warning can be a gift if it comes in the right time and at the right time. A warning can be the greatest gift that God could ever give us if it comes before judgment or before discipline. A warning can be one of the greatest things that God can give us because He loves us and He cares about us. And the alarms. Would you lift your heart with your hands to the Lord? I think it would be a beautiful thing if we would be sensitive to the voice of God. Sensitive to the voice of God. Sensitive. Sensitive to the Holy Ghost today in this house. Lord, are you wanting? Why would that radio preacher, why would that pastor use words that I almost never hear him ever utter? But today, Lord, today you put those words in his mouth for me. In Jesus' name, give us discernment, Lord. So challenge us, Lord. Challenge our consecration. Challenge, Lord, our passion. Challenge, Lord, our affections. Challenge, Lord. Challenge us. The alarms are going off. The alarms are going off. What is happening? God, in His love, is trying to tip us off, to give us a peek into His will, to give us a look into His heart, a view into His heart, into eternity. Lord God, I open my soul up to you. We open our hearts up to you, Lord. Could it be? Oh God, I believe you want to bring new people in this week. I believe you want to fill people today. I believe you want folks, Lord, to take on the name of Jesus today in the waters of baptism, God. Oh Jesus, let me, Lord, somehow have a new sensitivity. A new, Lord Jesus. Oh, would you open your heart? Would you let God stir something on the inside? Would you? Would you let a spiritual alarm? The alarms are going off. The alarms are going off. Oh, precious God, speak to us, I pray. Give us good sense. Give us, Lord, good sense. Give us discernment, I pray, Lord. Wouldn't this be a great day to make a consecration? Wouldn't this be a great day?